Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Srimad Bhagavatam, 10th Canto, Chapter 81, Text 40.
Evam sa vipro bhagavat suhrit tada trishtva svabhrityai ajitam parajitam tadhyana vedo grantitatma Bandhanas Taddhama Lebhe Achirata Satam Gatim Evam Savipro Bhagavat Surhitada Trishtva Subhrityaya Rajitam Parajitam Tadhyana vego gratitatma bandhanas Taddhama lebhe chiratas satam gatim Evam savipra bhagavat suhritara Krishtvas vabhrityar ajitam parajitam Tadhyana vego gratitatma bandhanas Taddhama lebhe charita chiratas satam gatim
Evam savipra bhagavat suhritada Krishna Subhrityaya Rajitam Prarajitam Tadhyana Vego Gratitatma Bandhanas
Ladies. Thus, Saha, he, Vipraha, the Brahmana, Bhagavat, of the Supreme Lord. Suhrit, the friend. Tada, then. Drishtva, seeing. Sva, his own. Brityaihi, by the servants. Ajitam, unconquerable. Parajitam, conquered. Tat, upon him. Dhyana, of his meditation. Vega, by the momentum. Udgratita, untied. Atma, of the self. Bandhanaha, his bondage. Tat, his. Dhamma, abode. Lebhe, he attained. Achirataha, in a short time. Satam, of great saints. Gatim, the destination. Thus seeing how the unconquerable Supreme Lord is nonetheless conquered by his own servants, the Lord's dear Brahman friend felt the remaining knots of material attachment within his heart being cut by the force of his constant meditation on the Lord. In a short time, he attained Lord Krishna's supreme abode, the destination of great saints. Purport. Sudama's earthly fortune has been described, and now Shukadeva Goswami describes the treasure the Brahmin enjoyed in the next world. Sri Jiva Goswami mentions that Sudama's last trace of illusion lay in the subtle pride of being a renounced Brahmin. This trace was also destroyed by his contemplating the Supreme Lord's submission to his devotees. Om Ajnanatimirantasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurn Militam Jena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhistam Stapitam Jena Bhutale Shayam Rupa Kada Mahyam Tadhati Shapadantikam Bandehang Shri Guru Shri Jata Padakamanang Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Shagrajatam Shahagana Raganatan Vitam Stam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savatutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Shahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhan Vitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dinabandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kamshana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vansha Kolpitarubhyascha Kripa Sindho Vyayevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nitananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasadi Gaur Bhaktavrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare.
evam savipro bhagavat suhitada trishtva sabrityaya rajitam parajitam tadhyana vegor gratitatma bandhanas tadhama lebhe chudita satam gatim. Evam savipra bhagavat surittada. The Sudama vipra had practically seen personally how kind the Lord is to the Brahmins, and especially to this Brahmin, his intimate friend. Surhit means a heart-to-heart friend. There are other words for friend, bandhu, mitra, but Surhit is an intimate friend. So the Lord is the greatest friend of all living beings, Suridam Sarvabhutanam. And when the living being reciprocates, then the intimate relationship between the Lord and the devotee is reestablished.
Evam Savipra Bhagavat Surittama Surittada.
Bhagavan Surit. We generally, Sudama's story is very often taken to be like a model for friendship in this world, as there are so many friendships. Even Karna and Duryodhana are an example of serious friendship. But here it's not like the friendship of classmates or war buddies. Bhagavat Surit. He was the intimate friend of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The friendships in this material world are ultimately maya. It's held up to be a great thing. There's nothing as valuable as a friend in need. Not the friendship is so great. But finally, the friendship of this material world is illusory. It has to do with the body and the mind. If I meet an American someplace, we at once become friends. If he's a German or Italian, it's neither here nor there. Or it has to do with the affinity of the mind. Philosophers become friends, sports enthusiasts become friends, gamblers become friends, businessmen become some sort of friends, husband and wife are sometimes friends. But that friendship is based on the platform of the body and the mind, which are asat, which have no substantial existence. And therefore that friendship comes and goes. Sometimes it really comes and goes. The friend becomes my enemy, the enemy becomes my friend. Or else, at least when the body is finished, end of the friendship. Then I go to another body, I get a new set of friends, either in the human life or in another life. The friends are replaced. And sometimes even my friends of the former life become my enemies in the next life. But here, Bhagavat Surit, and even here in this life, what will my friends do for me? Even a heart-to-heart friend, how much does he really understand the depths of my heart? And what can he do for me, finally? He can give solace, he can give empathy, maybe he'll lend me some money, Maybe he'll do something for me. But finally, my friend is drowning in the ocean of material existence. You know, they say friends in high places. You know, have a friend who's a minister or something. But all the friends of this world are drowning in the ocean of material existence. So what kind of high place? Now, how will they help me? They can't even help themselves. And often they drag me down with them. The friend says, come on, let's go to this. Come on, let's enjoy. Come on. The expression is, with friends like those. So sometimes my dear friends, who I think are my dear friends, are actually my enemies, and I'm their enemy. Because we've got a mutual program for exploiting the material energy together. But here, Bhagavat Surit, friends with the absolute truth, friends with the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and as we've seen, friends with the husband of the Goddess of Fortune. Bhagavat Surit, unlimited friend and unlimited friendship, not cut by the limits of time, by the knife of time. So, evam sa vipra bhagavat surit tada trishtva sabrityai ajitam parajitam. Sudama Vipra had seen that although the Lord is ajita, unconquerable, he's conquered by his love for his devotees and by the devotees' love for him. Krishna's ajita, Hiranyakashipu, is like an insect for him, such a big demon that even the demigods would tremble in fear when he raised his eyebrow unfavorably. And for Krishna, he's like an insect. Or we find in the universal form chapter that all these big warriors that are such a threat, Bhishma, Drona, Jayadratham, Karna, all Anyan, Yodhaviran, powerful, powerful fighters. The Lord is munching them like a meal. They're entering into the blazing mouth of the universal form. And it's described that the Lord destroys them all, Brahmanas, Kshatriyas, Vaishyas, Shudras, the way we eat a meal and devour our breakfast or lunch. He devours the cosmic manifestation. So he's unconquerable, and yet he's conquered by the devotee's love. This is Krishna. The love means devotional service. And devotional service is more powerful even than Krishna. His internal energy attracts even him. This is the dynamic of the spiritual world. Although he's unconquerable, he can be conquered by submission, not by trying to outdo him. That's not possible. But when the devotee wholeheartedly surrenders to the Lord's gratitude exceeds all material limits. Yayata mam prapadyante tam stataiva vajamyaha. So as the devotee surrenders to Krishna, Krishna surrenders to the devotee also. So Drishtva, Sudama Brahman had seen this by his own experience. Tadhyana vegor gatitatma bandhanas. And he was thinking of this, thinking of the Lord's kindness, thinking of the wonderful reception the Lord had given him, thinking of how wonderful Krishna was in every way. Tadhyana. And that dhyana had a very powerful force, vega. Vega means a very powerful force. Prabhupada gave the example when you have to go to the toilet. It's a vega. It's a pushing. You can't say, eh. It's an irresistible urge. Therefore, Rupa Goswami says, vacho vegam, manasa krodha vegam, jiva vegam, udara pasta vegam. The urge. People can't stop talking. Some people really can't, but there's always that urge to speak. Vacho vegam, manasa krodha, the urge of the mind to go on spinning and speculating and thinking. Vacho vegam manasa krodha, the force of anger is so powerful that people kill their husbands or wives, people beat their children to death. People punch walls and injure their hands. Udarapasta, we don't have to speak about the belly and the genitals, everyone knows the power of those forces. Kama krodhodbhavam vegam. In the Bhagavad Gita, the powerful urges of kama and krodh. So here, dhyana, tadhyana vega, the powerful force of thinking of Krishna, was overwhelming. Tadhyana vega. He wasn't officially meditating on the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He wasn't following some prescribed system. Shama, Dhamma, asana and dhyana and tarana and samadhi. It wasn't formal, it wasn't ritualistic, it wasn't official. Practically, it was just an overwhelming force. In the previous verse, it's mentioned that he, with intelligence, he fixed his determination in the service of the Lord. Ittam vyavasato buddhya. Bhakto Ativa Janardhane. He fixed himself absolutely in the service of Krishna with determination. And it carried him away. You hold on to the, you know, someone you're driving on, riding on a bicycle, you grab the back of a lorry. Whoosh, hold on, because you're moving, you're going to move fast. So he, with determination, fixed his mind in the service of the Lord, but that service was so powerful that it took on a force of its own. He was overwhelmed, carried away by the powerful force of devotional service. His mind was carried away. Tadhyana vega. Couldn't stop thinking of Krishna, how merciful Krishna is, how wonderful Krishna is. although he had a big palace, although his wife had become like the goddess of fortune, although he had so many servants, although he had more and more and more, the materialist would have been just meditating again and again, my chandelier. My wife. And practically speaking, he forgot about all of those things. Or when he remembered those things, he just remembered, Krishna's given me this, Krishna's given me that, Krishna's given me this, Krishna's given me that. It wasn't the this and that that he was absorbed in. That's also mentioned. Vishayan Jayaya Chaksham Pabujay Na Atilampata. He wasn't gaga over the material enjoyment. He was enjoying it. All right, Krishna's given it to me. I don't want to disappoint him. So I'll accept these things, but I'm going to give them up. Anyway, everyone has to give everything up. But even then, it wasn't that he was just thinking, and it's mentioned here in the purport, I'm a Brahmin, I have to renounce. But he accepted with the understanding that I will renounce these things. And the main thing was his absorption in consciousness of Krishna. Tad vega, udgratitatma bandhanas. And what did that force do? It cut whatever material attachments were left in his heart. Gratita means knots, I think. Yeah. Gratita is knots, and udgratita untied the bandhana, the ropes of material existence, the bondage of material existence. Atma bandhana, based on the misconception of the Atma as this body, whether the body of a Brahmin or the body of a Kshatriya or Vaishya or Shudra or Brahmachari, Grihastha, Vanaprastha, Sannyasi, of a Singh or a Patel or a Subramanyam or a this or a that. Sarvopadi vinirmuktam tatpratenu nirmama. All these illusions were completely udgratita, uprooted, untied, undone by the powerful force of devotional service. Tivrena bhakti yogena. And dhammalebhe achirata satam gatim. And this wasn't just like an aimless force, like when there's a tornado or a cyclone, then everything's getting thrown in all directions. This force was taking him somewhere. What is that? Tad-dhamma. That force was carrying him back to home, back to Godhead. Dhyana, tad-dhyana vega. According to one's mind, yam yam vapi smaran bhavam tyajajante kalevaram tam tam upaiti kantya sadata bhava bhavata. What we think of determines where we go. And he was so absorbed in thinking of Krishna that there was only one destination for him. Tad-dhamma paramamama, the transcendental abode of the Lord. And achirata, na chirat partha maya vesha tachetasan. Because he was thinking of Krishna, it didn't take a long time It wasn't births and lifetimes, even yugas. Quickly, achirata. Achirata lebhe, he attained the supreme destination, satam gatim, the destination of those who are fixed in the absolute truth by pure devotional service. Hare Krishna. Any questions?
Hare Krishna Maharaj. You mentioned that Sudama had powerful force of devotional service, so he attained Krishna in same lifetime. How we can get such powerful force of devotional service?
How do we get such that force of devotional service? By the association of those who have that force. Kirata hunindra palindapul kasha abhira shumbha yavanakasharaya yenye chapapa yadapashrayashraya shudyanti tasmai prabhavishnave namah. That source is Prabhavishnu, the powerful energy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And to achieve the real benefit of devotional service, antakatam papam, one has to get freed from all the results of our past sinful life, jananam punyakarmanam. But it's possible for anyone, even for uncivilized people, even from people from the lowest background. Yadapashrayashraya shudyanti. When they take shelter of one who's taken shelter of the Lord, they become purified and go back to Godhead. The whole process is not something independent. By my power, it requires the mercy of the Lord, which is obtained by the mercy of the devotee. It's described the Lord doesn't give pure devotional service very easily. So one has, what is that? Krishna se tomar Krishna dite para tomara shakati acha. Srila Narottam Das Thakur says to the pure devotee, the spiritual master, Krishna se tomar. Krishna is your property. Parajita. Ajita parajita. Although everything is his property. Sarvaloka Maheshwaram. He becomes the property of his devotees. In Bhagavad Gita, what is that? Teshu te mai. No, teshu te mai. Mai te teshu chapyaham. The devotees are in me, so I'm in them. So the Krishna se tomar. Krishna's yours. Krishna dite para. Therefore, you can distribute Krishna. You can give Krishna. We don't have to start from the beginning. How do I get Krishna? We have to take shelter of someone who's already gotten Krishna. Krishna dite para. Tomara shakati ache. That's your power. You can give Krishna to others. So in this way. Is that okay? Anything else today? Yes.
Maharaj, when we are traveling or when we have periods when we don't have such association, when we are traveling or when there are periods when we don't have such association, how do we go about taking such association?
Keep that association. Association is not just physical. Bhakti Charamaraj tells the story that one time he said to Srila Prabhupada that I wish I could have been with you back in those days, in early days in New York, to serve you when you were all alone. Prabhupada said, I was never alone. He said, my Guru Maharaj was always with me. So if we keep our dedication, what is that? Vyavasita buddhya, by intelligence, if we remain determined to serve the spiritual master, then he is always with us. Why am I going somewhere? If I'm traveling, why am I traveling? It should be for the service of the spiritual master. Even if it's for family maintenance, I should think that I'm maintaining the family for the service of Krishna and the spiritual master, not for sense gratification. And then you can take advantage if you're on a long flight or a long train ride or whatever it is. You can hear a lot, you can read a lot. Maybe you can distribute a batch of books. Trains are really good. Airplanes are a little more restrictive as an environment. But trains, you can do the whole train. Come back with no books and a lot of service. Or maybe even you meet one person. Speak about Krishna. Train rides go fast. It's an opportunity. When you're traveling and you're thinking of Krishna, then you may get some opportunity to speak about Krishna, distribute some literature about Krishna, or else just read about Krishna. You hear the complaints, so I don't get time to read. So if you're traveling long distance, then read, then hear. Is that okay?
Hare Krishna. The attachment to sense gratification is very strong in the conditioned soul. So the attachment to renunciation is something that may seem like not very plausible. Can you shed some light on how...
Yeah, we wish we could have attachment to renunciation. For Siddhama Vipra, that was like his last contamination, that he was a little attached to being renounced. We could only wish that we were that attached to being renounced. Therefore, Rupa Goswami says that when will my attachment for Krishna, my eagerness to serve Krishna, be like the eagerness that we have for sense gratification? A young boy is so eager to associate with a young girl. Young girl is so eager to associate with a young boy. When will my attachment be like that? Now that comes from hearing Srimad Bhagavatam. Why are we reading Srimad Bhagavatam? Our consciousness should also be captured. It's not just a static thing that we read a story and we think, yes, that was the story. But as Sudama Vipra's mind became absorbed in thinking of Krishna,
The Bhagavatam is giving us so many opportunities to become absorbed in thinking of Krishna. Tada rajastamo, and to get freed from these unwanted things in the heart, nashta prayeshu upadreshu, nityam bhagavata sevya. By regularly hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, by regularly serving a pure devotee, the heart becomes purified, mind becomes purified. Evam prasanna manaso bhagavat bhakti yojata, bhakti yogata. Bhagavat tattva vijnanam mukta sangasya jate. We become free. It's not just a amorphous sort of a sentimental thing. There's a process. There's direction for the process from the spiritual master. There's so much value to the process. The goal is sublime. So we should take the process seriously. Even if we're beginners, the process is so powerful that we'll be uplifted and gradually we'll come. If we try to imitate Sudama Vipra and just show some sentiment, that won't be effective. But if we seriously follow the process, then one day we can hope to come to that stage also. That the force of devotional service will be so strong, it'll overwhelm all other attachments, all other things. We see that. The Goswamis, what did they have? They had beautiful wives, they had big money, they had aristocratic positions. They gave it up as if it was nothing. Because they were so attracted by Radha Krishna, by Krishna consciousness, by devotional service.
Hare Krishna, thank you. The concept of enjoying while contemplating that one will give it up is quite a foreign concept.
Not really. There's lots of people who have exactly that concept. I'll enjoy and then I'll give it up. And they're totally absorbed in the enjoying. And the give it up is sort of lip service.
Yeah, matter of speech.
You know, one day I'll give it, when he desires, I'll give it all up. May he never desire.
Because even that thought of giving it up kind of ruins or seems to spoil the fun of the enjoyment. So even the entertain that philosophical concept may seem very frightening to an attached living entity.
The attached living entity, it does spoil it. Even philosophical understanding spoils your enjoyment. When you understand that the whole material world is just dust, that it's all just going to be blown away by the winds of time, how can you say, I'm going to dedicate myself to this? When we understand kunapetri dhatuke, that the body is a bag of mucus, bile, and air, but I'm going to enjoy it. And it's spoiled, as you say. Dukhalayam ashashvatam. It's a source of misery and it doesn't last anyway. So who can throw himself into that enjoyment except the fool? The fool can throw himself into that enjoyment wholeheartedly because he's brainless. He doesn't think about what it is. And the Paramhansas, they can forget about it. And those in the middle, they're in conflict because part of them knows that it's not really enjoyable, and part of them is saying, let me enjoy it anyway. They know they're making themselves miserable, but they keep doing it.
So there's this spirit of enjoyment which is diseased. Let me enjoy. It's a kind of intoxication. We get something, we immediately want to enjoy. And the mind goes, woo. But here, it's not that kind of enjoyment. It practically, it's duty, and whatever pleasure is there is going to come because it comes. It's described that Maharaj Yudhisthira enjoyed his kingdom. But elsewhere it said he didn't really enjoy it. It was at such great cost anyway, and so many relatives and had been killed. Enjoyed it means he took the post of king. So he had the queen, he had the royal brothers, he had the taxes coming in, he had the army, he had the Your Majesty and all of that. But he wasn't thinking, wow, I won, and now I get all this. Now I'm king, let me serve. And because you're the king, you'll eat nicely. Everyone will Your Majesty you. You'll get the best of everything. You'll sleep in a room on satin sheets with mahogany bedposts or whatever it is. But when you're Krishna conscious, you won't be thinking, wow, mahogany bedposts, satin sheets. Even for the ordinary person who has those things, after a while it's like, you know, another night on the satin sheets. So it becomes ordinary. And of course, because he's in a disease condition, then he has to go looking for something more. A woman to put on the satin sheets, a man to put on the satin sheets, both, anything. Try this, try that. Anything for enjoyment. Because what he has now doesn't really do anything. Because it was a mental concoction anyway. So, Sankalpa Prabhavan Kaman Chaktvan Sarvana Sheshata. The yogi or the devotee gives up this spirit of mental concoction, which is the real basis of what we call enjoyment. Wow, I'm eating this. Wow, I'm having sex with that. Wow, I'm going here. Wow, I'm going there. It's all mental concoction. And you have to keep that mental concoction going, otherwise the enjoyment goes flat. But the devotee gives up completely that spirit of mental concoction and the enjoyment that goes with it. He just serves according to his duty. If it's his duty to live in a palace, he lives in a palace. If it's his duty to live in a hut, he lives in a hut. Prabhupada did both. Sometimes he was staying in a little hut with Gaura Govinda Maharaj and Bhubaneswar. Sometimes he was staying in his rooms in Juhu. But he wasn't thinking, wow. Nor was he thinking, why should I stay here? They'd bought him a hotel room. Prabhupada refused it. No, I'll stay in the hut with my disciple, Gaura Govinda Maharaj. Because his spirit in staying, whether it was in Juhu, or it was in Bhubaneswar, or it was in New York, or it was in London, was not the spirit of enjoyment. You know, we go to London, you know, you see all the ads. London! New York! Los Angeles! Bombay!
And you're supposed to go there with this wonderful spirit of enjoyment, and you can do the town, the nightclubs, and the places to visit. Prabhupada went to all of those places, but not with the spirit of enjoyment. He went to London, he went to Los Angeles, he went to so many places. The thing that so many people are aspiring to do, to see the world, Prabhupada saw. But he wasn't thinking, another opportunity for enjoyment. Whatever enjoyment there was from seeing London or seeing New York or seeing, he saw. But not, and I went to New York, and I went to Los Angeles. It was my duty, so I went to New York, I went to Los Angeles, I went here, I went there. And thinking of Krishna. Sometimes we see a picture of Srila Prabhupada. There's one that's memorable. Prabhupada sitting in his rooms at Radha Damodar honoring prasadam. And if you... what we may get from the photograph is that Prabhupada's not going, wow, wow. You know, they cooked this, they cooked that. He's thinking of Krishna. He's thinking of his spiritual master. He's thinking of Rupa Goswami, Jiva Goswami. The enjoyment is there. The taste of the food is there. But it's not a source of, wow, am I the enjoyer? It's just another stimulus for appreciation of Krishna. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is relishing prasadam, thinking, Lord Jagannath has tasted this prasadam. And he went into ecstasy, thinking about Lord Jagannath, thinking about his lips, thinking about his flute, thinking about the gopis, thinking about so many things. Not thinking, wow, am I the enjoyer? Not even thinking, wow, am I the enjoyer? I got Mahaprasadam. Just appreciating how wonderful Lord Jagannath is, how wonderful Krishna is. That okay? Okay, thank you all very much. Hare Krishna, prayers to Srila Prabhupada.